So I pray that your July has been going well, has it? Man, it's been hot. Now, I'm going to use this in the right text, so I'm going to say it. This lady at McDonald's, I'm rolling through, and I was getting my son something to eat, and she goes, "It's hot as," and she said Hades, but she said the real word. And I said, "No, ma'am, hell is hotter, and you need to tell everybody you work with it's hotter in there. And you make sure they know that." She's like, "Ah!" You know, she had big old eyelashes on, they're flapping, and you know, "Well, I guess, ma'am. Now, it's been hot, but hell is hotter. Hell is hotter, and you don't want to go there. You do not want to go there." Thank goodness for that cold front that came through. The day I could wear a suit and not sweat through it, glory to God. You know, me wearing a suit doesn't make me any more holy than anybody in here. You know that, right? Right? Why do I wear a suit? I wear this suit because it was a gift, and I like suits. I don't always wear a suit. But I just want you to know, you don't have to dress up to come to church. You don't have to be pretty and clean to come to church. You just come to church hungry as you are. I don't care if you're rocking flip-flops or you're rocking $300 shoes. It don't matter. Everybody comes to Jesus as they are, right? Clean up all you want. You're just as broken as the next person inside. You need Jesus just as much as anybody else. So this month's theme for July has been our 3G method. Thank you, Pastor Cody, for bringing this down, by the way. You got the hint when I moved it. Good job. It's a big hint. It's about this big. It's pretty heavy. Thank you. This month's theme has been our 3G method. The 3G method is our mission statement for First Open Bible. It's the centerpiece vision God gave us. And all of our major decisions flow from this vision, and it has for over 3 years now. The mission for First Open Bible God has given us is the 3G method. It's grounded, growing, and going. Grounded in the Word, growing in discipleship, and going to serve. Our central Bible verse is the same one Jesus gave us, and he's been waiting for the church to fulfill ever since he said it out of his mouth. In Matthew chapter 28, 19 through 20, it is the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you till the very end of the age. Sometimes it's hard to be a Christian in America, and sometimes it is not. Charisma Magazine published an article just 1 month ago, and it was titled, 8 Global Ways Global Christianity is Different from American Church. I summarized this for you this morning, and I want to list all 8 of those ways that Christianity is different in America than it is in the world. Number 1, Christianity has a high cost. In most countries of the world, there are negative, severely negative consequences for anyone to follow Jesus. They lose their jobs. They lose their friends. They lose their homes. They lose their families. They even lose family inheritances. And worst of all, many times they lose their life. Not as intense here in America. Number 2, Bibles. Most American Christians have multiple Bibles or theological books. The world cannot say the same thing. Theological education is very rare in the world. In many countries, one Christian book or one Bible is cherished like a priceless possession. Number 3 that they listed was this. The global church doesn't rely on church buildings. Some American preachers have been, I'm sorry, many do not have resources. And their government, a lot of places, don't allow buildings to be built if its main purpose is one of faith. So they gather wherever and whenever they can. Grass huts, stores, apartments, parks, warehouses, hillsides, wherever. Number 4, there are restrictions on what can be preached. Some American preachers are banned from entering into some countries because they preach from the pulpit something that is offensive to other religions. Many countries have governments regularly monitoring what is being preached from that church. There's parameters all over the place. Number five, economic hardships. Tithe, offerings, they're so low that there is no way for upkeep or staffing or buildings or even helping hurting and hungry people. Many believers don't give money because they don't have any. They give goods like animals and crops. If you don't have a lot of money and you want to give to the Lord and you're bringing some crops, Pastor Cody will meet you in the fellowship hall and we can go ahead and gather your chickens and goats. You're a weird preacher. Now, but for real, that happens all over the world. Animals and crops. Financial stress is one of the reasons many pastors overseas suffer from burnout. Number six, a serious lack of emotional support. Americans have many counseling resources, many of them. And a lot, if you work wherever you work, a lot of times you pay a copay and you can go anywhere you want. We have grief support, divorce care, family counseling, marriage counseling, rehabilitation centers all over the place for different reasons. And many of these are non-existent overseas. We are blessed. Amen? We're blessed in America. We are blessed way beyond we even know. Now for the last two that they listed. Number seven. Spiritual hunger is intense. Globally, people are hungry and desperate for the Word of God. An American man was in Colombia just recently, and he saw more than 1,000 people packing a church for a 6 a.m. service. Then he was in Uganda later when he saw a church was, these people saw the church was full. So people got chairs, sat out in the hot sun and by an open window just to hear the Word of God be preached. This never happens in our comfortable America. Number eight, the last one that they listed, how global churches are different than American churches. Most global churches rely on supernatural power of God. They rely on the supernatural power of God. No matter where you go in the world, there are lines and lines of people to receive prayer for healing. Miracles are common. And it is normal for someone to receive deliverance from a demon screaming in a Sunday service. Normal. Here's a quote that I want to read out of the article to sum it up for number eight. Quote, in the United States, we prefer strobe lights, widescreens, and cool graphics instead of the unscripted burst of Pentecostal power. We have our schedule to follow, and we want things to be neat and tidy. We don't want a sudden, messy interruption of the Holy Spirit, end quote. Charisma Magazine, just 1 month ago. So I'm not here this morning to bash on blessed America. This is the greatest country that the world has ever seen. We are blessed, and it is beyond just our finances. We are so blessed. God bless America and our freedom. We have so much, and that can be a massive blessing, or it can be a massive curse. What I want to preach this morning is about the real gospel of Jesus Christ. Number seven and eight that I just read of this article scare me for America. Let me tell you the titles is number seven and eight. Spiritual hunger is intense in the world. Most global churches rely on the supernatural power of God. Church, we don't have a different Bible. It might be in a different language. God didn't give the revelation of the Word of God to the Western Hemisphere and make it different. What we have is a wrong mindset in America. I'm preaching better than your amen in this morning. Perhaps we also have a wrong gospel message in our hearts. I personally believe we have a doctrinal failure that many parts of the world does not have. There is a foundational heresy most of us believe in. And it's been built by our American Christian culture, and it has not been built by the Word of God. There's been a long-standing non-discipleship gospel preached in the United States of America. It's been heavy on the forgiving side, and it's been very weak on the following side. There's a big difference between following Christ and professing a faith in Christ. Huge. You know how big? Hell kind of big. Unless you really dig into the Word of God and are grounded in it for yourself, you might not find this hidden sickness we find in American Christian beliefs. It's a sickness of professing of a discipleship faith, but not believing in being a disciple of Christ. It's being a talker of the gospel, but not a sacrificial instrument of the gospel. So Jesus, he spoke about something more than anything else in the New Testament. It was about the kingdom of God. Over 100 times in the New Testament, Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God. Jesus explains the mysteries of God by using parables and metaphors. Those are stories. What Jesus is trying to get across when explaining the kingdom of God in parables and metaphors, this is what he's doing, plain and simple. Jesus was teaching us how to follow him as a disciple. What is discipleship? It's this easy. It is following Jesus. And it's an essential part of the good news that he preached. To join the kingdom of God, you must become a disciple of Jesus. And what is a disciple of Jesus? It's people who actually do what Jesus did. WWJD didn't quite get it right. Who cares what Jesus did? Are you doing it? The world doesn't care what would Jesus do. The world cares what are you doing that Jesus taught you. This is quite different from the gospel that is now commonly taught in America. I want to ask you a question. You don't have to answer it out loud. But what is the gospel? What is the gospel? If a guy off the street came up to you and said, "Hey, I heard you're a Christian. What's the gospel? What's the gospel?" As Christians, we are called to be unashamed of the gospel. Amen? But how can we be unashamed of something we're not crystal clear about in our own minds and our own hearts? The question of what is the gospel has created a lot of disunity in the church because of the lack of clarity to this question. I just want you to know something before I keep preaching. It's God's word, not mine today. I believe God is grieved by what American believers do in their life and follow him and how they do. I believe he is grieved. Make him proud, church. Well done, good and faithful servant. This gospel question has caused a lot of confusion. In our culture, we've talked a lot about the gospel, but we have branded things in our life like this is gospel driven. This is gospel-centered. We talk a lot about the gospel, but if you really listen to the American Christian culture, that's exactly what it is. It's a lot of talk. Countries all over this world are sending missionaries to America. And I think it's because we haven't done our job. When we only talk about the gospel, it causes a lot of thinking we know the gospel, but in fact, we don't. The first century church wasn't confused about the gospel. They weren't confused about it. It was crystal clear. And they gave everything for it, including their life. When the first century church leaders preached the gospel with clarity and they backed it by the way that they lived. See, you say you go on church on Sunday, but then everybody hears you cuss up a storm on Tuesday. What? Or you come here and you profess faith and you pray for your neighbors and then you speak death into your own life and unbelief. I'm always going to be sick. I'm never going to see a breakthrough. I'm always going to be poor. I'm always going to be thinking like this. Do you think that happened in the book of Acts? Honestly. Now, I'm going to preach strong today because I want to break the curse of religion in America. Break that curse. This isn't about religion. If you came for a religious activity, you should have went down the road to another church because that's not how we play here. That ain't how we do here. Amen? This is an experience with the living God that changes us, that takes us how we are and isn't satisfied with leaving us alone. He wants to change us from the inside. He wants to set us free. He wants something different for you. He wants the reality of a crystal clear gospel in your life. He wants you to be a disciple of His. See, in the first century church, they preached with clarity and they backed it by the way they lived, and the power of the gospel was unleashed. And don't you love that word, unleashed? About time something spiritual in your life just gets unleashed, right? Right? Come on, youth. Y'all just came back from camp, right? Something unleashed this last week, didn't it? Something broke in your life, something set you free in your life, and you got to be unleashed. Everybody that you're going to see the end of next month needs what you have right now. Don't you let that fire go out. Fan that flame. You didn't have a camp experience. You had a life experience, okay? Don't let anybody say, you were on fire, but now you're not anymore. Don't you let them quench the spirit. Nobody speak like that to them. Don't you let them quench the spirit and say, it's just a camp experience. In 2 weeks, you'll be back to normal. Don't you let your mommy, your daddy, your auntie, your uncles, your friends, anybody, even anybody in this church, don't you let them speak that. Say, I'm going to hold on to this. I had a life experience. I just happened to be at camp. See, this crystal clear gospel that was preached and backed by the living of the way that people did back in the first century church, it was the power of the gospel and it was unleashed. And what did it do? It changed the world as we know it. Something has changed in the church since then. The gospel that was crystal clear to the first century church and began a world revolution isn't clear to the 21st century church. Not only is there confusion, but the church's lack of clarity has also led to an escalation of churches that preach a false gospel, a preaching of heretical doctrines. Following of Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus, you should pay close attention to the gospel Jesus actually preached in the Bible. You have to be grounded in the Word or you'll never grow in discipleship. You will never know what it's like to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus until you're grounded in the Word. That is not preached enough in America. I hope you don't just take what I'm preaching today as gospel. You got to go home and look at the gospel And if it resonates in your spirit and God says it's truth and I preach it, you say, amen, God, thank you for that word that you gave me this morning. Be like the Bereans and search the scriptures. Or take what you had today and say, oh, there's something in me that got hungry. I need to go into the scriptures and dig and dig and dig. I got to eat more. I got to eat more. I got to eat more. Man, I had some jerky, but I want a T-bone, right? Right? Man, I had a little taste of bread, but man, I want like all that Panera has. I want it all. I want it all. I want to order the left half of that menu. Man, I got to keep on eating spiritually. Too many skinny, starving Christians in America. We walk around getting defeated because we have no strength from the Word of God. And every fat, hungry, and strong religious demon out there beats you up every day because you ain't got no strength in your bones. You ain't got no muscle. You got to get in God's Word and build your spirit up. Fight. Do you understand that you are already victorious? About time we act like it. If you're not grounded in the Word of God, I say today, beware. Beware. Beware of the warning that the Apostle Paul gave us in the book of Galatians against those who preached a different gospel. Galatians 1:9 says this, I say it again, which means he said it before, which means it happens. What we have said before, if anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcomed, let that person be cursed. Woo, we need a gospel renaissance. Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. If you didn't bring your Bible today, we have one right in front of you in the pew. If you're in the front seat, it's right below you. Please grab a Bible, Romans 6. It's in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. I want to say this while you're opening. I believe that the American church's greatest barrier today is this. It's her distortion. Her distortion of the gospel. And it starts with this. Josh, what we're going to do today, no scripture. No scripture up there. You got to find it yourself. Amen? If you don't know how to find it, look at your neighbor. They'll help you out. If you don't help out your neighbor, what? Come on now. This is church. You ain't friendly at church, man. You ain't going to be friendly anywhere. And nobody likes somebody who ain't friendly, so no wonder you don't got no friends. About time you be friendly. Okay? Share your Bible. Shoot. Okay. I believe the greatest barrier we have right now is the distortion of the gospel. And it starts with this. Number one, it starts with this. Christians are not reading the Bible for themselves. Do you remember what I said? That was number, Prisma Magazine. Number two, Bibles. You can go to the store and if you got, they even have Bibles for $5 on sale sometimes. You can buy a plethora of Bibles and just put them everywhere, and you can read it anytime you want. And all over the world, they don't have such a thing. You know what some countries do? They're running from the law because they know they're Christians. They grab a Bible, and they rip out pages that they love. They shove it in their pocket, or they hide it, or they put it under a pillow, or maybe they lift up a floorboard, and they hide it there. And then at night, they wake up at 3 a.m., and they turn on their lights, and then maybe they have a candle or whatever because they don't want to have too much. They open up that floorboard. They get it and they read it and they memorize it and they study it. And guess what they do? Their neighbor has the same thing but a different portion. So sometime they meet up maybe at 4 a.m. and say they swap it in the dark, and that happens all over. But we can go down to anywhere that sells books. Even Barnes & Noble, who might not even love Jesus, has a whole bunch of these things. The Bible is so precious. Don't lose how precious this commodity is to us. Because you don't know, maybe someday this will be outlawed. And God's word says, hide it in your heart. You can't take my heart. You might take this, but what's hidden in here? So number one, our barrier, the distortion of the gospel is because Christians in America are not reading the Bible for themselves. And this is how it ends. It ends with what we preach and what we leave out of our preaching. Too many pastors are more concerned about the congregation and making you feel good and walk out being uplifted and saying, I'm doing a great job, sending people to hell. Too many. Oh, and it grieves God. Grieves me today. Every pastor, anybody who stands behind this pulpit has one main thing that they're supposed to do is honor God by loving God's people. And even if it's a strong message, even if it's from God's word, even if it's the truth, you preach it just like Jesus did. Who did he preach the hardest to? Was it the sinners? Who was it? Say it, church. Pharisees. And who were the Pharisees? The churchgoers. The churchgoers. The churchgoers. Me! That's why God talks so strong to us. Because he loves us. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. Because he needs us and he loves us and he wants us. And this is the age of the church, when the church gets out. And that is how God moves in these days. And if we don't have strong Christians and disciples of Jesus, what are we? Just another American stat. Not okay with that. The most common gospel preached in America right now is the forgiveness-only consumer gospel. The problem with this false gospel is it's a doctrine of two things: hyper-grace and hyper-prosperity. This kind of doctrine turns everyone into a consumer of religious goods and services. If you came this morning, unless it's God's word, to get and not give God something, you might have that sickness in your heart. This is the church. We come to gather and love together to give God glory, to give God our praise, to give God our hearts, to lay down our faith and say, God, I need more of you. There's sin in my life. Here is my faith. I fall before you. I believe your word is true. Transform me. Mold me. Shape me. Put me on fire. Make me a gospel following, Bible believing, fire of God. Shut up in my bones. Go out and do the things that you call me to do. Help me be grounded in the word. Grow, God, grow me in discipleship. So that way I know how to go out and serve. That's how we approach church. Not that we're like, I hope they have good songs today. Hope the preacher doesn't yell too much. No, seriously, I hear it all the time. It's a little loud. It's a little quiet. We had too much worship and not enough praise. We had too much praise and not enough worship. The pastor preached too long. He preached too short. That message wasn't for me. Every message from God's word is for us. It's God's word. It just might have not hit you like last week. We in America have a consumer religious of goods and services mentality. What does this do? It kills the main doctrine of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, and it waters down the truth Jesus actually taught. These two false doctrines, hyper-grace, hyper-prosperity, these two false doctrines kill character transformation. I want to park there. It kills character transformation. Think about that. It kills it because you think that you're doing just fine. And I need more of God's blessings, not more of his presence and Holy Spirit conviction to be made in the image of Jesus. I just need more of his blessings. I feel better about myself. Now there are times, church, don't get me wrong, there are times that you should be ministered to. You're broken. God says he loves you with an everlasting love, and he mends the brokenhearted, and he comes to you and he loves you and he fights for you. That is truth. But it doesn't say, and then you should go out and buy a Mercedes because you deserve it, because you're God's greatest, and he has all the cattle on 1,000 hills. He has all these things, and you should go out and you should prosper and prosper. If you prosper for your own gain, that's not Jesus's gospel. If you prosper for the kingdom of God and you give it back to God, that is the gospel of Jesus. That's hyper-prosperity versus the actual gospel of Jesus. And if you think that I can go out and sin and do whatever I want because it's covered under the blood, it's under the blood. I can sleep with whoever I want. I can live with whoever I want. I can smoke and drink and be on drugs, and I can watch this and watch that, and I can talk this way because it's all under the blood. What you have done is taken God's grace and you've cheapened it. That's hyper grace. It's all under the blood. It's under the blood to set you free, not to get you captive again. I think I'm getting ahead of myself. We have to speak truth to this. We just look at what Jesus said. What did he actually say? Okay? Matt, who in here, when you eat your food, you just kind of pick at it like a little bird? Right? Raise your hand. Everybody says, man, you eat like a little birdie. You just eat a little bit here and here and there. Right? Raise your hand. Raise it like you know. Okay, come on now. I hope you don't eat God's word like that. I hope you don't eat God's word like that. I'm going to pick that scripture because I like it. Then I'm going to eat over here because I like it. Now, no, what did that whole plate of food say? But I just want to eat the dessert first. I don't really want to eat my vegetables. Well, no wonder you're out of shape. Spiritually, think about that. Right? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. Right? I'm going to apply that to, I used to joke around, I don't do that anymore because I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's like, man, I got 5 more bites of that food. Philippians 4:13, I can do this. Jesus, give me strength. I'm like, come on, man. That ain't what that's for. Right? See, these two false doctrines, they kill character transformation and expect everyone who is saved to not follow Jesus. But instead, you can do these things. You can seek only his blessings and you can live how you want. Here's what a false gospel says. Jesus died for your sins. He rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and he will return someday and gather his church. Everyone who's agreed with this set of religious facts is a Christian. By the way, you don't need to do anything about it. No sacrifice from you is required. In fact, you can't do anything about it because it's all under God's grace. So go live your life how you want. The theologian Dallas Willard said this about the American gospel that's been preached as of late. Quote, "We have not only been saved by grace, we've been paralyzed by it." End quote. The American church today is truly paralyzed, and it's largely because of our view of grace. Romans chapter 6, I hope you have it up in your lap there. First 7 verses. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and we were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Verse 5. Since we have been united with him in his death, we are also raised to life as he was. Verse 6. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives, and we are no longer slaves to sin. Verse 7. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. God's grace is not a license to sin. God's grace is not a license to sin. God, forgive me. I've done it. It's not a license to sin. Instead, it is the power over sin itself. true gospel of Jesus is laying down of one's life to see the kingdom of God move forward. Church, if we continue down this path in America that we're on, the world will be flooded with nominal Christians who will be shaped by the gospel that does not reproduce, it does not transform, and it does not represent the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And we will fail to accomplish God's will here on earth. Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. At the heart of the gospel is this simple question. Are you doing the will of God? Are you doing the will of God? You know that God has a plan for all of you. I want to talk to the people today that aren't saved. If you're here today and you don't follow Jesus, I want to let you know something cool. God has a plan for your life. He has a will of people around you that must know this gospel that I'm preaching about right now through you. That he loves you so much that you were sent here today, not because somebody wanted to invite you, but because God predestined this time, this day, this very hour, that you might hear the gospel and be set free from it, and that you will feel the love of God that you've never felt before, and you will lay down your head tonight, and you will feel different than you've ever felt before, because the real living God is alive, and he speaks to you today through me to you, and he loves you, and you have a will for your life, and it is not for your own gain, but it's for the kingdom gain. And let me tell you, if you thought your life was good now, or maybe you think it's bad, it'll be the greatest life you will ever live. It'll be the greatest journey you will ever go on. It'll be the best thing you will ever do. It'll be the best decision you'll ever make. It's awesome. I remember doing it when I was in 9th grade, and I never looked back. And let me tell you, from 9th to 12th grade, I was a mess. I looked just like the world. I'm not gonna say that, there's too many teenagers. I used to do stuff that was terrible, and then right after youth, I didn't get it. I actually went to Bible college not really getting it. So I started reading God's word, and it transformed me. And then about 9-ish years ago, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and my life has never been the same. I preached out of theology with my head for far too long, and I was worried and wondering and constantly, and then now, because of the living God and the baptism of the Holy Spirit that filled me, I now preach from the inside of my spirit instead of my mind, and they connect as one, and God speaks forth, and I can do it with boldness, just like it happened to the 120 in the upper room. And God has a destiny, an Oregon boy coming to preach to Iowa people. Now that might seem like a weird journey, but it's mine. And God has one for you. And would I ever do something different? Would I ever say, man, I wish I would have made a different decision? I would never say that. That God would think of me like this, but God thinks of you like that. He loves you so much that there are amazing, amazing plans for you. There's a will that no one or nothing will ever satisfy. But the love of God not only will satisfy it, it will compel you to move, compel you to go. It's an amazing, amazing thing. So I want to ask you the major question of the gospel as we start to get ready to close. Are you doing the will of our God? Matthew 7:21-23 says this, "Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter." Verse 22, "On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, and we cast out demons in your name, and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply," says Jesus, "I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws." Strong verses, but they teach us these two major things. In these verses, Jesus warns against self-deception, having a mere verbal profession of lordship of Jesus without the obedience to do the will of God. And the second thing is this. Jesus says it's even possible for a self-deluded person to have a spectacular ministry with the authority of Scripture and through the name of Jesus, but still walking without genuine, obedient discipleship. Being a disciple of Christ is something that you have to be all in for. Being a disciple of Christ is someone who does the will of God and has a heart dedicated to God. It is not a heart set for selfish gain. Permissible sin covered in cheap grace. Living in selfish pleasures and fulfilling daily personal desires. If you're not uncomfortable for God, you're probably not with God. He stretches us all the time. He gives you the desires of your heart. You've heard it. Now let me preach the truth of that real fast before I finish up here. He gives you the desires of your heart. You're right. That's true. But the American church says that that's prosperity. The American church says that that's all I want, to gain everything I want all the time. He gives you the desires of your heart, but what he does first is he changes your heart to match his. You get the desires of your heart because they're his desires. That's how that works. That's the true gospel of Jesus. And God wants you to prosper. Yes, he does. But for his kingdom, for his kingdom purposes. If you got a lot of zeros in your bank account and all it is about buying you stuff and you're not building things all over the world, you're not going to fill, how many backpacks? 450? 450 backpacks? Help us fill that? Right, there are people out there in our very own community, little kids and families and people from other countries, refugees that need the church, the blessed church, the church that's free, the real disciples. The real disciples of Jesus. Not for our selfish gain. The gospel of Jesus didn't say you have to give. The gospel of Jesus doesn't say this. You have to give something up for him to follow him. It says you have to give up all to follow him. Luke 14, 27 says this. If you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. You must die to self-centeredness and be willing to endure suffering for his glory. Believing produces behavior. It's impossible to separate belief from action. We must obey God, otherwise we don't really understand the gospel of Jesus and the gospel that he actually preached. I got homework for you. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 20. James chapter 2, 14 through 20. A faith that is not lived out through action is actually not faith. And it is a life without Christ. If you're not doing something for God based off of what the gospel says and what it has shown us, I beg to ask this question. If you're not following Jesus, see, following Jesus requires action because you have belief. You follow him. You have to take steps to follow him. If you're not doing that, I beg to ask the question, are you saved? Is Jesus really the Lord of your life? Discipleship is seen by the way that you live. You're either a disciple or you are not. The theologian, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, heard that name before, he said this, quote, Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ, end quote. Plain and simple, if you want to live, and if you want this living Christ, then you must drop everything in your past life and follow him. Matthew 4, 19 through 20 says this, and he said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. They immediately dropped their nets and followed him. Discipleship means this, get out of your boat. Look to your neighbor and say, get out of your boat. It says, get out of your boat, leave everything, and become fishers of men. It said in verse 20, Matthew 4, verse 20, I just read it. They immediately, they didn't talk about it. They didn't weigh the cost. They didn't say, I don't know, I don't know, I don't. They dropped everything and followed him. See, this is discipleship. This is the gospel. I want to ask you a question. Are you hanging on to your own life, or are you giving your life to follow Jesus? The gospel of Jesus requires that you lose your life in order to save it. You lose your life in order to save it. Mark 8:35 says this: if you try to hang on to your own life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, the gospel, you will save it. The gospel that Jesus preached has the power to penetrate every part of society, in every heart, on every corner of the earth. Disciples of Jesus, I know many of you are following God and you're following Him hard and you love Him with all that you are and you're doing things that you never do before. And if you're on staff here or you're aboard, you do things because I ask you to do things, because I like to stretch you. I just have one word for you. You're welcome. That's two words. How about just welcome? You're welcome. My wife preached a sermon a long time ago, and it said, a rubber band will never be launched until it's stretched. You will never go somewhere that you're destined to be until you're stretched. Right? I mean, many of us have gotten new jobs before, right? We got new jobs and we stretch ourselves and we say, oh man, I don't know if I can do this. But you stretch yourself and you surprise yourself. The same thing is for the kingdom of God. God wants you to step out of your boat, drop everything immediately, and follow Him. We need to do that today. If you're doing that today, I want you to understand the gospel. I want us to proclaim it boldly to a lost world of souls in America who desperately need a real gospel message of Jesus Christ. I hope you heard this morning. I want to break some religious things in our lives, things that the American church has been teaching. I listen to podcasts, I see things, and there's a lot of well-known speakers that people love dearly, thousands, millions of followers. And I think that they're following them into a place that might not be heaven. I truly believe that. I want to say this before I go any further. I am not perfect. I'm not perfect at all. Theology, I've studied and studied, I've gone to school, I got my master's, but what is that? It's just digging deeper. I don't have all the answers, and I believe every church of every believer will go to heaven one day and go, oh man, I got that way wrong. I got that way wrong. God, thank you for your grace that covered me when I was wrong. But I want to say this, God has made me the pastor of this church, and what a shepherd does is he has a shepherd's tool, and it's for a couple things. But one of its main things is this: to protect you. If you're about to walk off a cliff, it has a little arch on it, right? To grab that sheep and pull them back so they don't fall off and die. You can turn it around and you can fight with it. They fight off the enemy. They fight off wolves or different bears or whatever. King David did it to protect the sheep. And that's me this morning, is I want to protect you from things that are not reality. I want to tell you the truth. The truth is this: you must give God everything that you are, and it shouldn't be about your own gain. No matter what every preacher that has millions of followers, you know why they have millions of followers, some of them? Because they're telling everybody what they want to hear, and like some people just said, they tickle their ears. And we're told to go away from that kind of thing. The true gospel of Jesus does one major thing: it transforms. It transforms us into the likeness of Jesus, not into a good American Christian, but to the likeness of Jesus. I want to ask God what to do right now. I want to set you free from this thought too. You ain't going to get it right all the time. You're going to keep sinning. You're going to keep falling short. But the true gospel says this: you don't have to. The gospel in America right now says you get to. You don't get to keep on sinning. You don't get to keep falling in those traps. That's not what Jesus died for. He died to set the captive free, not to keep binding him in the same thing so they feel good about themselves. So many people lost in some prisons. So many people thinking they're free because they don't got shackles, but they're still behind bars. Jesus sets the captive free. You won't always get it right, but God's grace covers a multitude of sins. It covers all of it. It washes it as white as snow. It sets you free. God's mercy for us. We deserve death, but God had mercy upon us that he would send his son to die on the cross for us to set us free. Not so we can fulfill our own lusts and our own pleasures and our own things in our life, but he sent Jesus Christ so he would die, so we'd be set free. So you don't gotta cuss anymore. You don't got to live under that bondage anymore. You don't got to think like that anymore. I don't care what your granddaddy did. I don't care if you have depression. Hand it down. It said it breaks all the curses. All the curses are broken under the blood. If you want to claim that. But that ain't the gospel. That ain't the truth of Jesus. The truth of Jesus says you're set free from all things. All things are set free. And God is looking for disciples that truly follow him. Truly follow him. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, with no head bowed and no eyes closed, I want to ask you a question. Do you want to be free? Do you want to live like God intended it? That's you today. Will you raise your hand? I just want to acknowledge you. That's you today. Will you raise your hand? You say, I've never accepted Jesus Christ before, and I want to accept him right now. I want him to enter into my heart and set me free. If that's you today, will you raise your hand? I just want to see that hand. See that hand? Is there anyone else? It's a real gospel. The real gospel of Jesus runs after you. Just like the father ran after the prodigal son, it runs after you. It's tenacious. It's full of love. It's full of compassion. It just moves forward, and it runs, and it runs, and it runs, and it wants to embrace you, and it wants to look you in the face and tell you that it loves you, and that Jesus Christ died for you, and then even if you're the only one ever born of all creation, if you're the only one, Jesus still would have died because he wanted that relationship with God again, because that's how you were destined to live. God walked with Adam and even in the garden, and he did that because you're supposed to walk with God in your garden right now, right this very moment. That's how God designed it, and the only way back to him is through Jesus Christ. And I want to say this: is there anyone else that's never given their heart to Jesus that says, I got to do it? Or maybe there's this: I believe the American gospel and not the biblical gospel. I believed it was all about me when it was all about Jesus. It was all about Jesus. That's you today. Will you raise your hand? Say, I want to follow Jesus, not myself. Anybody in here? Amen? Amen? Why did I say no head bowed, no eyes closed? It's because in God's word it says you should. If you're afraid before men, and you're unashamed before men, Jesus will be unashamed before our Father when we go to heaven. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. You don't got to understand it all. All you got to know is it's for you, and it will set you free. Run, church, run. Be a disciple of Jesus. Give them all. Quit holding back these things. You know what happened in the Bible when they held back and they hid it in a tent? They turned into pillars of salt. That's what happened. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Don't keep stuff for yourself. Church, will you stand, please? Anybody who raised their hand and said, I want to follow Jesus and run after him as a disciple of his, not for the first time, but you're saying, you know what? I might have got it wrong. I need the real gospel. I want you to do something with me right now. And there's a lot of you. I want you to raise your hands to heaven right now. Say, I need the real gospel. That's you today. I need the real gospel. I need the real gospel. I need the real gospel. And I want you to pray with me. And you do it out loud. I'll help you. Lord Jesus, I want to run after you. I don't hear you. Come on, church, if you have your hands raised. I want to run after you like you ran after me. Lord, help me read my word. And if I don't get it, it says in your word that the Holy Spirit will teach me. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to teach me now your word that was for me. Set me free. Set me on fire. Ground me in your word. Grow me in discipleship. Then put a fire so I can go out and serve. Now hold it there. Hold it there. Make it real with God. Make it real with God. Make it real with God. Be a disciple of his. Say this last thing. Jesus, take all of me now. Jesus, take all of me now. Jesus, come on, say it like you mean it. Jesus, take all of me now. Make that real. Make that real. Make that real. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ before and you want to do that today, it says in God's word that if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. Unlike the American gospel preached, it's not just a prayer, but it starts with a prayer. When you pray this prayer, you will not live like you once lived before, and it's gonna be awesome. This is not a license to sin. This is the power over all sin. But it starts with a prayer, and I'd like to pray with you. If that's you today, and you raised your hand, and you want to give Jesus Christ your heart for the first time, will you please come up? I saw two or three hands. Will you please come up? Come on up. If you need to bring somebody with you, you can. That's okay. Come on up. Let's welcome them, church. Amen. So, man, what's your name?
John.
Ron?
John.
John. John, I've met you before in one of our outreaches, haven't I? I think I've prayed for you before. Have you come to one of our outreaches, like a giveaway or something like that? Yeah, I recognize you. Awesome, John. Wonderful. Now, I saw somebody else raise their hand. If it's a rededication, will you please come up? I think you're talking to a lady right now in the orange who's in the middle, and you're whispering, and you're pretending I'm not talking to you, and I can come get you. Now you're looking away, and you're whispering and laughing, ha-ha, but I saw your hand, so come on up. Somebody want to help me? I'm going to go get her. Come on up. I'm going to get you. Come on up. All right. You can come on up. You supporting him? Come on up. Amen. Amen. Good to see you again. Blessings. Is there anyone else? We're going to pray an amazing prayer, a life-changing prayer. Is there anybody else who wants to give their life back to Jesus or for the first time? If you do, run on up. Run on up. It says in God's word that when we pray this prayer and we give Jesus our heart, it says that all of heaven rejoices. Now, it also says this. Jesus said that heaven can be here on earth. That's if we do the will of our Father. So heaven here on earth. So what we're going to do is after I pray this prayer, all of heaven rejoices for your souls, but so does this church. And what's cool about this church is, I don't know what you've heard about churches before, but this church, we consider ourselves a family. I don't know what kind of family you have. I don't know where you've been or whatever. We want you to be a part of our family if you don't already have one. We want to love on you, build you up, encourage you. We want to tell you, dude, you're acting a fool, man. You're being crazy. You need to change that in your life because we love you. That's a good person, right? Not somebody just tells you what you want to hear. That's a fake person, right? So we want to do that. But not only, hey, you need to quit acting a fool. Let me show you. Come with me. I'll show you what to do. Come on. That's what we want to do here at First Open Bible. But it all starts with a prayer. So I want to pray with you. Amen? Can we hold hands? All right. I want you to repeat after me. Father in heaven, I give you my heart right now. Forgive me of all my sins and set me free. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Messiah and my Savior. I believe that you rose from the grave. And you're alive. Make my spirit alive right now, like your word says, and that preacher just preached. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to revive me and make me alive. I give you the rest of my life in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Now just stay right there. Make it real. Make it real before we celebrate. You never talked to God before. This is all you're going to say. You can say it in your mind. You can say it out loud. You say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, it's time to celebrate. Amen. Let's celebrate, church. Amen. 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 Sorry, I'm so sweaty. We have an altar team. Yeah, okay, let's keep celebrating. Come on. Woo! Come on, glory to God. Praise him. That's real. That's real. That's real. It's real. John? John, right? Yeah, amen. What's first name again? Mickey. Mickey and John. Awesome. 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 We have a altar team that's going to come up, and they want to get some of your information just so they can follow up and see if you need something. And if you gave your heart to Jesus today, I got a Bible for you. I think you got one, right? Yeah. I got a Bible for you. I'm going to write in it. And it's a really good one. I didn't give you a cheap. I mean, it's a good one, right? Yeah. God says do things on purpose. And we do things right, man. We got to do it right. So we're going to get some information from you just to follow up. We love you. If there's anything you need, you call us, you write us. And that person that's going to get your information too, here they come. You get their information if you need, and you guys talk, okay? Amen? All right, church. I'm sweaty. Are you sweaty? No, you didn't. You weren't preaching. I was preaching. I'm sweaty for the Lord. I don't know what you are right now, but it's time to worship the Lord before we go. Let's worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, before we go, and let's thank him. Be disciples of Jesus. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Christ alone.